When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Episode 238 for the Love of the Game on the Bleep Podcast Network is brought to you by Bet Online. The NFL playoffs are here, everybody. Opening weekend of NFL playoffs is right here, but that's not the only thing to bet on if you're interested in doing so. NBA season's in full swing, NHL is in full swing, and Bet Online has you covered with all the up-to-second odds, news, and scores, with additional odds, lines, trends, and info on both desktop and mobile. You can access the world's best wagering information at any time. Head to the website today, get in on the action. Remember to use promo code BLEAV, that's BLEAB, to get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, where the game starts. With that said, episode 238 for the Love of the Game. Let's get this work.
To spread out the word. I was too damn determined. Rap game needed refurbished. I was up top with no service. Watches and are playing verses. They in the bushes, they lurking. My God,
and we're back. Episode 238 for the Love of the Game on the Bleep Podcast Network. It's yours truly, ATH. We are back. And the playoffs are here, folks. The playoffs are here. And quite honestly, they couldn't come soon enough because the end of the regular season was a slog. There was a lot of bad football. I know I've ranted and I've raved about the quality of play in the NFL, but the playoffs are here. So hopefully we are going to have some good games and some quality football being played. Enough with the red zone. Enough with that nonsense. It's time for the playoffs. So just a couple of quick things about week 18, and we're going to talk with a recurring guest about this weekend slate, previewing the playoffs and whatnot, and we're going to get to him in just a matter of moments. But a couple of quick thoughts about week 18. So obviously, the big story to me was the Buffalo Bills knock off the Miami Dolphins in Miami 21-14 to claim the AFC East. After all the ups and downs with the Buffalo Bills, Buffalo is the 2 seed in the AFC, AFC East champions again. Now, this game lost its luster a little bit after Buffalo clinched when Jacksonville lost to Tennessee. We'll get to them in a second. My goodness, that was horrific. But This was for to see who was going to travel to Kansas City or to see who's going to have a home game. And Buffalo took care of business, even though it looked like they were down most of the game. The offense was sputtering. Josh Allen had moments of brilliance. He had moments of ineptitude, which included a red zone interception, a red zone fumble. The Buffalo offense, when it was humming, it looks unbelievable, but then it stalled out and it was 14-7 Dolphins. And then all of a sudden you get a punt return touchdown for the Bills. Josh Allen makes a couple of big plays in the fourth quarter. Miami's offense could not do much of anything. Kudos to the Buffalo defense, which played great for the majority of this game, especially in the second half, limited Miami to nothing, basically held them, 0 points. And Buffalo takes the AFC East. I mean, Josh Allen, again, as I mentioned before, he's basically Brett Favre, right? You have moments of absolute brilliance. Some of the throws he makes are just incredible. Some of the runs he makes that he's able to do, he's able to make plays that basically he's the only guy who can make those plays. I mean, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, but he's on a short list of guys who can make these plays. And he came up big in big spots. Yeah, it wasn't always pretty. You're going to have your scratch your head moments, but that was Brett Favre. And Brett Favre was awesome. So Josh Allen was awesome. I mean, it's really a shame for the Miami Dolphins because this team, when all healthy, is a really good team. I think it's a very dangerous team, a dangerous Super Bowl contending team. But no Jalen Phillips, no Bradley Chubb, no Xavier Howard, no Jalen Waddle, Tyreek Hill banged up, and my guy Tua, who I've been a defender of, basically put Tyreek Hill in harm's way a lot. Almost got him decapitated at least twice last night. Didn't love that. And Miami's limping into the playoffs, a season that had so much promise for the Miami Dolphins. They get to go to Kansas City where it's going to be absolutely freezing. You cannot.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Love Miami's chances in that game. The other thing, Houston, the Houston Texans take care of the AFC South behind a rookie coach and a rookie quarterback. They beat the Colts 23-19. Tough way to lose for the Colts. I know the backup running back dropped that ball on fourth down. Throw wasn't great. Could he have made the catch? Yeah, he took ownership of it, but the Colts were not projected to be very good. Shane Steichen and his guys overachieved. Kudos to them. They had a successful year, especially with Anthony Richardson, their rookie QB, basically being done for the year after the first three games. They were impressive. But what can you say about C.J. Stroud that hasn't already been said? Unbelievable. Throws for 4,000 yards as a rookie. And just the poise. 20 of 26. Two touchdowns. Just an incredible season from him. And it gives them a chance. He's a guy that gives you a chance. Like, how many quarterbacks right now are better than C.J. Stroud? I'm not sure he can name more than five. So he gives them a chance. I know they're going to be underdogs at home against the Browns. We'll get to my picks for, picks against the spread for wild card weekend. But I think the Texans are a little bit more alive than they're given the chance just because of C.J. Stroud. And DeMeco Ryans has to be coach of the year, no? I mean, I know you can probably give it to Stefanski, who won 11 games with five different starting quarterbacks, but DeMeco Ryans, for a team that went worst to first, rookie QB, wins the division. He's got to be in the running for coach of the year. Unbelievable season by the Texans. And they were able to win the division after Jacksonville lost 28-20 to the Tennessee Titans, a team that had five wins coming in. Jacksonville, with Trevor Lawrence, I know he was banged up, but they were the preseason darlings. I was a fan. It's just a disgusting, disgusting display on Sunday. Disgusting. They should be embarrassed. Absolutely embarrassed. They were 7-2 at one point. Don't even get to double-digit wins. What a fall from grace they had in the second half. And yeah, I know they were hurt. I know Trevor Lawrence was hurt a lot, but it does not excuse what happened to them down the stretch. And I know it's easy to pile on Trevor Lawrence now. And you look at his numbers over his first three seasons, they're very similar to Daniel Jones. That's not great. Doesn't take into account that Urban Meyer was his coach first year, and that was an absolute disaster. No, but we're going to just, you know, on the surface, the numbers don't look great. I saw that guy engineer a comeback down 27 points to win a playoff game. So for all the Jet fans, and there were a couple in a group chat that I'm in, who are saying that the Jets were better off taking Zach Wilson because they know Zach Wilson stinks, so they can move off of Zach Wilson more easily than Trevor Lawrence. That Trevor Lawrence is a bottom third QB in the NFL. Like, what are you watching? What are you watching? Lawrence gives them a chance on third and long. He's a threat to complete a pass at third and long. How many QBs do you feel good about doing so? You still feel confident in him to some degree. He was the best prospect since Andrew Luck, and he's already won a playoff game engineering a comeback. For like the Jet fans to say that is insane. It's absolutely insane. But yeah, his stock is down bad right now. I will readily admit stock is down bad, but I will be buying the dip on Trevor Lawrence. I'm still a believer, but Jacksonville as a whole should absolutely be embarrassed. All right, so the matchups are set for this weekend. Picks against the spread. We're recording this on a Monday. I finished 52.3%. So basically, I broke even with Vegas with the VIG. We want to be a little bit better next year. Finished the year 4-1 in week 18. So we got the Browns at the Texans. Right now, the Browns are 2.5-point favorites. By the way, these picks are not official right now. I'll give them out on Instagram later in the week. I'm leaning towards the Texans, home dog, plus 2.5. Chiefs are hosting the Dolphins. I like the Chiefs to lay the points. -3.5. I'm going to take the Chiefs there. That's where I'm leaning. Bills and the Steelers. Steelers traveling to Buffalo. Buffalo's been a little too up and down for me, so I'm going to take the 9.5 with Pittsburgh, even though I think the Bills are going to win the game. Cowboys host the Packers. I'm going to take the Packers plus 7.5 again, just because the Cowboys, you don't trust McCarthy and Dak in the playoffs. Eagles at Tampa. The Eagles are a 3-point favorite. I'm leaning on taking the Tampa Bay Buccaneers because, my goodness, the Eagles stink right now. Anyway, so we're going to get to previewing the bracket, talking all about the playoffs with a recurring guest, just Maren Mo. Just one quick thing on the New York Knicks. They are 4-0 since the trade, and it just looks great. Everything looks great right now. OG Anunoby hasn't even scored a lot of points. He hasn't had a big game offensively, but his plus-minus is tremendous. I know plus-minus is a flawed stat, but still – it shows his impact on the court. He impacts winning. The ball is moving. One less black hole in RJ Barrett. Ball's moving around. And you're going to see the uptick in usage and the uptick in production from Deuce McBride and Quentin Grimes. Two guys who I've been high on. I know I spoke about in the last episode. I've been in the Grimes hive forever. You're going to see, finally, he's going to get more touches. Things are free-flowing. You're going to see good production from McBride and Grimes going forward, especially Grimes. Now, do the Knicks may need a little bit more pop in the second unit offensively? Maybe. But I think they should feel pretty good with where they are right now. Maybe a backup big would be nice. It'll be interesting to see if the Knicks continue to roll like this. I mean, they throttled the Philadelphia 76ers Friday night. That was an impressive win. And then to follow it up against a bad team, Washington Wizards, on a back-to-back, that's what good teams do. They take care of business on a back-to-back against bad teams, even after getting a good win the night before against a quality team. No letdown. That's good stuff from the Knicks. Things look good right now in Knicks land. Things look good right now. Could they host a home playoff series? Very possible. Do I think they're going to be in the top two or three in the Eastern Conference? No, but
whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. and you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
We'll see how things shake out. Can't really complain about the Knicks right now. Anyway, we're going to get to a recurring guest to talk more about the NFL playoffs. We're going to get to him in just a matter of moments. So I'm bringing him back on, a recurring guest, one of my favorite recurring guests to talk NFL with, none other than Shai Ellberger. We went heads up in a Vegas Super Contest type pick 'em, five picks against the spread. He edged me out by like two or three wins. So I owe him Mendy's, a soup and a soup and a salad or something like that. Shai, what's good, bud? Congratulations on your head-to-head victory.
You're welcome. And it's really because you started claiming victory after week 16. We did not have any sort of agreement on a bet or anything. And then all of a sudden, you have like a three-game lead with 2 weeks left. And you're like, oh, yeah, Mendy's dinner. And I'm like, well, you can't just make up on fries.
I thought before the season started, we were going to establish some type of stakes. It didn't have to be major stakes, but something.
Stakes need to be established before the competition starts. Anyway, as the football gods frowned upon that move, and the last week 17, I went 5-0. You went 1-4. And then week 18, we both went 4-1. So it was really just week 17. But, week 16, I went 4-1. You went 3-2. So, yeah, you started talking a little too early, and I came back right at the end.
We petered down the stretch, kind of like my Jacksonville Jaguars. Stock is all the way down. But, yes, I am buying the dip on Trevor Lawrence. Wanted to obviously talk to you about the playoff, you know, bracket and previewing the games this weekend. But – obviously, we have to do a couple of parting thoughts on the Giants. News came out today that Wink Martindale is not going to be the defensive coordinator. They have the sixth pick in the draft. What are some of your parting thoughts for the Giants season before we talk about them closer to the draft?
I'm pretty pissed that Wink is gone. And honestly, like once that Jay Glazer report came out at the end of November, it was like some random Sunday pregame show where he's like, sources telling me that Wink and Dable do not get along and he's not going to be back next year. Like, a lot of times reports, I'm just like, whatever, they don't know, they're stirring shit up. But Jay Glazer, I believe, is like one of the more reputable ones and locked in with Giant stuff. He used to work, I think, in like Star Ledger, like Northeast papers, like back in the day. I do think he's like plugged in. He had some other older bait like Giant stories where he said it ahead of time and I checked out. So really since then I'm like, I don't think he's gonna be back. And then neither Dable or Wink really said anything the rest of the season that made me think otherwise. And just it's very frustrating because I liked him. The stats for the defense may not look super impressive, but watching the team, you know, a lot of that was a function of the offense being so bad. And just, you know, if any Giants fan would tell you, they if not the defense that they've lost games the past few years, 2 years. So, and like last year they were winning, like there were so many games. I remember like the Ravens game and the Colts game at the end where like the game ended and Wink and Dable like, you know, motioned to each other and hugged and were like, I never thought going into the season there was even an iota of possibility that they didn't actually get along. And then, you know, I guess when losing happens, the stuff comes out. So I'm not happy about it. Like, do I think he's the best defensive coordinator of all time? No. But I really like just like continuity and the coaching staff. And, you know, he is obviously important with their high draft picks on defense, Thibodeau and Deontay Banks and Cordell Flott. So it's like kind of annoying. And they already fired the special teams coordinator. So that's fine. He deserved that. And, like, I like Mike Kafka, so I don't want him to get fired. And also, I just feel like that'd be such a bad look, firing three coordinators that you hired, before last season started. So, I mean, we'll see. Wing stuff, I'm not happy with. The way the season ended, just I mean, it's good to beat the Eagles, but like next year, if the Eagles dominate the Giants again, like no one's going to remember that they beat them in week 18. Like they also beat the Cowboys the last game of the season in 2020, and that didn't carry over to anything.
Yeah. I agree with you on the wing stuff. It's a bit of a bummer. You mentioned it, that the defense was not the problem, and they actually have a lot of talent on the defensive side of the ball. It'll be interesting to see what happens with Kafka. I'm curious to see if, Dable takes a little bit more of the play calling duties just going forward, because, the offense was kind of anemic, but at the same time, like they're just lacking, high end talent on the offensive side of the ball. But I don't want to focus too much on the Giants, because we can obviously, talk about the Giants forever, but it was good to see that they played hard for him down the stretch, right? Yeah, it did cost you a couple of draft slots, but it was good to see that they played hard for him. They didn't lose the locker room, that it's not going to be a revolving door constantly like we've seen 2 years here, 2 years there. And, those are my major takeaways. But losing Wink is going to hurt.
I'll just say these two things quickly. Yes, I agree with you. We've seen the last like 7 years at the end of the season where the Giants are like, they have Jake Fromm, Mike Lennon, like Colt McCoy, these guys playing, and you're just like, me, I know you're not watching. I'm like sitting through it, like gouging my eyes out, being like, I can't believe I'm watching this game that's 17-0, 23-0, whatever. So yeah, and like Tommy DeVito, not a good quarterback, but gave us a month stretch where the Giants were like 3-9, and it was like, how are we going to sit through this for another 8 weeks? So DeVito gave us a month to root for, and then they were okay down the stretch. Thing I'll just say about Mike Kafka really quickly is, like, last year I had no issue with the play calls. Like, I thought there was great creativity. The red zone offense was great. Jones played well. Like, he didn't all of a sudden get worse at calling plays. They're so hamstrung by the offensive line and lack of receivers that I still feel like with what he's given, they don't do a bad job. And then if Dable starts calling plays, so then he's less of a head coach overseeing this. I don't like when the head coach is calling plays, offense or defense. There's just a lot to focus on. They're not focused on time management, on timeouts and challenges because they're thinking about the next drive. Like, I like Kafka. I like him on the Chiefs. I think you should stay.
Barkley coming back, yes or no?
I say no. I don't think so.
I think they're going to tag him, and he'll be back on the tag again. That's what I think is going to happen.
He's not going to be happy. If I were the Giants, while that outcome might be fine, what I would do is let him in free agency and say, just give us a chance to match the offer if you want to be back here. And if not, good luck, and thank you for representing the team well over the last 6 years.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Bon voyage to the Giants, but now the real games start. Now we don't have to watch crappy NFL red zone content. We can focus on games that mean something here. So I guess my first question to you is, when you look at the bracket, right, what stands out to you the most? Because for me, it's the freaking Chiefs, who have been so mediocre all year, lucked out like crazy.
The Chiefs, yes. Well, Miami coming in is so injured right now. And aside from that, I don't know if you've seen the forecast, but they're saying it's going to be
freezing. Absolutely freezing.
So, yeah, I mean, the Chiefs, like, quote-unquote, lucked out maybe, but they're still going to have to play Buffalo in round two at Buffalo. So it's not like they have some easy path to the Super Bowl. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't know. Are you less scared of Miami than Houston? Like, they could have been playing Houston. They could have been playing Cleveland. It's not like Miami is like some pushover. Like, they're going to have Tyreek and Tua.
Yeah, they don't have the starting defensive ends.
Achane, right. So this could be a high scoring game. But then, let's say the Dolphins score 20 points. Can the Chiefs score 20 points, even with the Dolphins' injuries? So it's not like we're not talking about the Chiefs of, the last 5 years. Like, they have struggled to score points this year. So either this game maybe is a shootout, maybe not. Like, Miami's really walking wounded, but the Chiefs are also just not great. So, like, if this was 6 weeks ago, you'd say Miami by, 6.5. Now they're injured, so it's not that. But it's not like the Chiefs are some powerhouse.
What's your favorite game of the weekend?
I think, like most people, I'm really excited to watch Lions-Rams for obvious reasons. And I don't know, like Texans-Browns, intriguing. Chiefs-Dolphins, we're going to want to watch, has the star power.
Wait, but hold on. The Chiefs-Dolphins, do you have Peacock ready to go?
I'll just answer the question because my rant is I can't believe that. But there was a game like 3 weeks ago that was on Peacock, also exclusively. You're probably not aware. And I was pissed at
I'm aware. I just didn't care.
And I forgot what game it was exactly. It was also like not a good game. I forgot what it was on a Saturday. But knowing that that game was on Peacock and this playoff game 3 weeks later was going to be, I literally signed up for it for the $5 and I will cancel it after this playoff game. And I just had to accept I have to pay $5 to watch these two games. I'm not, it's ridiculous.
Go off on your rant because I think it's absurd also.
It's just like, I'm sure they made money from it. So I don't see them going back on it. And maybe I just have to prepare myself that in the future, like, we're going to have to pay for the Fox NFL package and the CBS NFL package. I hate the Thursday games on Amazon Prime. My TV is a smart TV. I can access it very easily. I just don't like, or I should say I like when I'm watching a game at commercial, I can just change the channel to another channel. Like having cable, I still have cable. A very easy pause and go back 15 seconds to watch a play again. And that's on Prime, like I have to stay in the app. I'm not going out of the app back and forth. So not forced to watch these commercials. It buffers like three times a game. It's very annoying. iPad and TV is like 25 second difference, which is annoying. And yeah, I don't like it. I just give me the TV.
The streaming games stink. The product is bad. The picture quality is bad. I know the NFL is going to try and squeeze out every single dollar they can, but like at a certain point, it's getting ridiculous. And it's on us. It's on us to say no as consumers. Like it's on you to say, no, I don't want to pay the $5 for Peacock. Whatever, $5 is not like significant amount of money, but it's the principle behind it. But because the NFL fans are sheep, which is why they watch garbage ass products on week 17 and week 18, NFL Red Zone, I am talking to you, terrible. Like this is what happens.
I'm curious to see what the numbers are. And yeah, there are a lot of things in life in general where I feel like I could personally suffer for the greater good. And I am not going to do that. And that includes watching. Like, I'm not going to follow a football playoff game on play-by-play. It's just not going to happen. The sad thing is like, where's the cutoff? What if it cost me $20? Would I still not watch the game? I don't know. Let's hope. Let's hope that doesn't happen.
All right, so back to the weekend slate. So obviously the Rams Lions is the most intriguing game, right? Which game are you least excited to watch?
I mean, all these games are like intriguing, but I always even think that when it's like two bad teams on a Thursday night game, like Bucks Eagles, seemingly could be a pretty ugly game. I don't know if AJ Brown's gonna play. Hurts seems like yes, but like clearly his finger broke last game against the Giants yesterday. And they've been horrible they're 1-5 to finish the season. So like that game could be ugly. I'm still intrigued to watch it. Bills Steelers, like I think I probably picked the Steelers to make the playoffs at the beginning of the season, but I was not rooting for them to make the playoffs because with a month to go, I thought it was them or Buffalo, and I was going to be really pissed if that happens. So I guess they made it over like Cincinnati, which is okay. But that game is like, I don't know, but crazy stuff happens. Like, would it shock you if like George Pickens has a 70-yard touchdown on the first drive and it's 7-0 Steelers?
Well, we'll get to that when we handicap the games. We pick them with the spreads at the end of it. But I just Yeah, I don't know. I mean, obviously, you have storylines galore with Lions and the Rams. I feel bad for the Lions fans, right? Because they win the division for the first time since, I think, what, 1993? They're hosting a playoff game for the first time in, I think it was 1993. And they bring, you know, Matt Stafford, who's coming in, who's their guy, comes back. And, yeah, I think they did fine in that trade eventually. I think it was obviously it was a win-win because the Rams went on to win the Super Bowl. But the Rams, to me, are like the second most dangerous team in the NFC. You could make that case. Oh, it's either them or the Lions, because I think both of those teams, or I should say the winner of this game, is going to end up in the NFC Championship game. And it just sucks for the Lions fans that they're going to have to go through this emotional roller coaster.
You know, I don't think it's like their first playoff game in forever. The fact that the opponent happens to be, I feel like they're all going to be honestly happy to have Stafford back in Detroit. Like, they're definitely going to be, I don't know if they've played each other since, actually. I don't know for sure if they played last year. But you don't think, like, let's say it's his first time back, you don't think they'll have, like, some montage before the game starts? Like, I think they're excited to play Stafford.
I don't know. It's a playoff game. You can't be doing montages for playoff games. Like, lock it. It's, you know, no niceties. It's a playoff game. I don't know. I'd be a little disappointed if they gave him a montage for a playoff game.
Seeing if they've played each other already.
So, yeah, I don't know. It's, I don't think there are too many ugly games. You know, I do think the ugliest game could be the Eagles-Buccaneers just because the Bucs offense can be a little anemic. It was on Sunday. I mean, winning 9-0, covering the spread, by the way, winning 9-0 is kind of gross. But there are interesting matchups. Who's so I think if you had to pick one upset, right, for a team that's not, you know, favored to win, if you couldn't take the Rams over the Lions, who would be your upset pick?
So my bracket, I think that's the one. I did take Rams over Lions, and I think that's my one upset. But, I mean, Philly over Tampa, is that an upset? It's the 5 versus 4.
Philly's favorite to win.
Right. I didn't look at the spreads yet.
Philly's favorite to win. We'll get to that. But
Stafford has played in Detroit in 2021, right after the trade. So the montage has happened.
Well, that's good. Good.
All right, one upset. Now, let me give you an upset. I'll take
Go ahead.
I'll take Bucks +2.5. But Baker might be injured though. Like, I don't know what the deal is. I can't take the Bucs over the Eagles. Are you kidding me? Like, 5 weeks ago, that would have been blasphemy.
Well, guess what? It's not 5 weeks ago. Eagles kind of stink. But that wasn't my first pick. I guess we can kick this off now in terms of looking at the games and previewing the games, you know, going against the spread and whatnot. My upset pick is going to be the Texans. Texans over the Browns. And I know everybody is going to be picking the Browns. Browns have a great defense. The Browns have a great year. Stefanski's probably the coach of the year. All the different starting quarterbacks. But I don't know. This C.J. Stroud, D'Amico Ryans thing is, like, I mean, it's super impressive going worst to first in the NFL. I know the NFL is like the one league where you could do that more easily. But for a rookie to come in to play the way he's played and for the coach to have a command in the locker room like he has, I don't know. You know, home underdog, like, that would be my pick if I had to pick one.
I could see it. Like, that's another one where it's like Flacco's been playing so well. He's the veteran. Browns are veteran team. Texans are the new up-and-comer, you know, first taste of success. It's already a successful season. Browns should have a much better defense. Like, could the game be 27-10 Browns? Yes. But also, would it shock you if we're like in the third quarter, Flacco has 4 picks And, you know, Nico Collins somehow is 100 yards and a touchdown, and Stroud's going crazy. And there was a fluky, you know, pick six, and it's 17, you know, Texans are winning that game. That could happen also. So it's not a, the spread's low, right? What is it, 3.5?
2.5. So let's start there. So, okay, so let's make our picks, all right? So that's game number one. We're going to go down the line. Browns, okay. Texans. I'm going Texans plus 2.5. I know most of the public money is going to be on the Browns.
I'm going Browns.
All right, so we are heads up again. All right, so we talked about Dolphins, Chiefs. It's going to be cold. I'm assuming Jalen Waddle is going to play. Xavier Howard, is he going to play? I mean, it may not matter as much, the Xavier Howard injury, just because the wide receivers for the Chiefs stink. But the Chiefs are favored by 3.5 at home against the Dolphins. Which way are you leaning?
I'm going to go Miami plus 3.5.
Now, do you think Miami's going to win the game outright, or do you think
the Chiefs are- I don't. And I probably even feel more confident going with the Chiefs minus 3.5, but I'm going to go with my boy, Mike McD.
It's going to be a tall task.
I don't know. Tyreek's playing in Kansas City for the first time, so I feel like he's going to take it personally, try to, not that he doesn't normally, but like he could wreck the game.
He could, but I'm not sure the Dolphins play well in 15-degree weather.
I agree, but he's used to it at least.
He's used to it. That's true. And, you know, they did have a decent showing last playoffs against the Bills. I mean, last year, I know it was Skylar Thompson. That game was a lot closer than normal. So I'm still going to go with the Chiefs minus 3.5. Don't love it. Bills hosting the Steelers. The line is Buffalo minus 9.5. The Steelers are led by Mason Rudolph. He'll probably continue to play quarterback, even though Kenny Pickett's healthy. I hate watching the Steelers. If I had to skip one game this weekend, this would probably be it. What's your pick? Bills or Steelers?
Checking the Buffalo weather right now. When is this game? Sunday at 1?
Sunday at 1.
All right, so cold.
It'll be colder in Kansas City than it'll be in Buffalo.
Colder and windy. I'm going to go Pittsburgh plus 9.5.
We're actually in agreement on this one. Pittsburgh plus 9.5. I think Buffalo has just been a little up and down for my liking. They're going to win the game, but I just don't think they're going to win by 10 points.
I say this, I'm going to say this for every game, so it's not very insightful, but like, could I see the Bills blowing them out? Yes. I just feel like the Steelers in the playoffs, with their ingrained in my memory for the last 20 years, is that they're probably just, if they're going to lose, not get blown out in the playoffs.
What's your opinion on Buffalo? Obviously, they were preseason darlings. They've been good now for a while. They took a little bit of a step back this year. Josh Allen's been a little turnover prone. Like, but all said and done, they're the 2 seed in the AFC. What's your opinion on Buffalo in terms of like being a viable, good team that could potentially win a couple of playoff games?
I think they're definitely in that category. I think there's a definite world where they make the Super Bowl. And when we last had this podcast like 6 weeks ago or so, or 7 weeks, whatever it was, a mid-season kind of summary, Bills were floundering, I think 5-5 or 6-5 at the time.
Yeah.
And
the odds were really, really good for the Bills to make the Super Bowl. I think you predicted Niners and Bills. Like that was like had some crazy odds in terms of, you know, being a nice long shot, but they must have dropped significantly now.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly what the question was that I was answering. If it was a dark horse that could still go far or something to that effect. But my answer was the Bills at that point. So that has proven to be a good one. Yeah, I think they're
feel that way.
Yeah, I do still feel that. Nothing, I mean, they've been 5-1 since, so nothing has definitely, you know, made me feel any worse. But
is it a confident 5-1?
There's just like weird turnovers that happen with Josh Allen, and outside of like him having like a three turnover or two in the end zone type of game like he had last night in a game they still won, if they just play normally, like they should be able to take care of Pittsburgh. They should be able to take care of the Chiefs, and then sets up for a Ravens Bills, you know, perhaps AFC Championship game.
Well, one of the interceptions was not nearly as terrible. I mean, the first one was bad. The second one, what was it, fourth down, where he just heaved it into the end zone. They actually gained some yardage there. Like, I'm not going to kill him on that one. The first one was bad, but, like, he's Brett Favre. Like, you know, Brett Favre made spectacular plays. He made some of the most boneheaded plays, but you deal with it.
I know. I'm, like... Mike Francesa, who you know who he is. So he, you know, usually everything he says,
he's really the greatest to ever do it.
Yeah. So he tweeted during the game last night something to, along the lines of like, Josh Allen is a great talent, but his turnovers are becoming intolerable. And I'm like, intolerable? You definitely tolerate the turnovers because he is so good. Like, what is intolerable? They should get rid of him? Like, of course they're tolerable.
He's one of the three best quarterbacks in football. Like, you're not getting rid of Josh Allen. Like, what are we talking about here? By the way,
intolerable. Crazy. You can say an adjective. They're inexcusable. They're horrible. You know, timing, intolerable. I was like, that is not the right adjective. They're definitely tolerable.
By the way, just a quick aside, I know no one really cares about the Pro Bowl, but the fact that like Josh Allen is not a Pro Bowler, where he like led in, you know, a couple of different passing categories, like, is a little ridiculous, but whatever. The Pro Bowl is irrelevant anyway. All right, so moving on along, we've got the Packers and the Cowboys. Dallas is home. The trend of a NFC East team repeating to win the division, that it hasn't happened since what, 2002?
2003, 2004.
Well, that trend continued because the Eagles, after starting out 10-1, finished 11-6. They stink. But okay, so Dallas wins the division. Dallas is a 7.5-point favorite against the Packers. Mike McCarthy coaching against his old team. Jordan Love may be coming on. What say you? Which way are you leaning?
You know, this pains me. I will take Dallas -7.5.
We're heads up. I'm taking the Packers. I don't necessarily think they're going to win, but I think they're going to keep it close. Well, why are you've been, you know, on this Dallas thing for a while. And I know what the regular season stats say, but why should you trust Dak in a playoff setting where he's giving you no indication that he's trustworthy?
I mean, Jordan Love hasn't given me any indication that he's trustworthy.
Fair.
Dallas has better players on offense and defense, and they're at home. And I feel like there's even the chance where it's like Dallas kind of pours it on and it's like 38, you know, 14 or something. And also, like, I watched the Giants play well against the Packers. Like Tommy DeVito's one actually good game was against the Packers. So that left this, I'm just like, Dallas could put up 40, I think.
Yeah, I will say this. Like, I'm not sure this is going to be a 7-point game. This is either going to be like a 1-3-point game, or Dallas is going to win by over 14.
Yeah, so I'm going.
That's just the vibe I'm getting, but I'm going to, we'll go heads up in this one. I'm going to take the Packers +7.5. Rams, Lions. Lions suffered some injuries. Sam Laporta injured his knee week 18. That's not great. The Lions are at home. First playoff game in Ford Field ever. The Lions are 3.5-point favorites against the Rams. Which way are you leaning?
Well, since I'm taking the Rams to win, I'll take the Rams +3.5.
That would make sense. I so want to take the Lions. I love the Lions, but I just think I think McVay has, you know, Goff kind of figured out. I think the Lions sustain a couple of major injuries. Like if Laporta can't really play, like I think that really limits the Lions. So I'm going to take the Rams plus 3.5 and win outright, even though it pains me because I've been a Lions backer all year. And last but not least, we've got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers hosting the Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles, again, started out 10-1, 1-5 in their last six. But they're 3-point favorites on the road against Tampa. Which way are you leaning?
I see 2.5 right now.
You see 2.5?
I see, yeah, 2.5. I'm taking the Eagles minus 2.5.
We're going to go heads up again. I'm going to take Tampa, home underdog. Jalen Hurts is a bad finger. A.J. Brown, questionable. The defense for Philly stinks. And I'm just fading the Eagles right now. Just what a fall for grace from them.
It's pretty surprising. Like every week I'm like, whatever, they lost this game. They're 10-1, they're 10-2. Like they lost this game, whatever. It's the good team. But then watching them yesterday, really just the first half when there were still Hurts. And I don't know exactly when A.J. Brown got hurt, but like, yeah, they're, I mean, I don't know. And their defense is like full of great players. I don't know why their defense isn't good. And
well, their secondary has been brutal.
Which is all, like they have James Bradbury and Darius Slay, who I think are very good cornerbacks.
Well, Bradbury's had a rough year.
Right. But like why? He was great last year. He's not old. I just have to look at the, I don't know if Tampa was more impressive like the last couple of weeks, maybe I'd lean more that way, but they also haven't looked good. So it's like the Eagles looking bad versus a mad Bucs team. I'll take the Eagles.
Do you like the Monday night game for a playoff game?
I think it depends on my status in life. I think if I was the only person on earth, I think 3 games Saturday and 3 games Sunday would be my ideal. Give me the full day Saturday and full day Sunday, 1 o'clock, 4:15, and 8 o'clock. But that takes up the entire weekend. So I don't mind Saturday starting later in the day, 4:30. Sunday is the day, and then I'll, another Monday night game after work, which is also good. But at least you get most of Saturday and before football starts.
It's I don't love it. I don't love it. I also feel like I know it's like the regular season teams deal with it, but I think in the playoffs, it's a major disadvantage to play Monday night.
Because then you have to play Sunday?
Disadvantage. What?
Because then you have to play the next Sunday.
Yeah. I mean, it's just an extra day. I mean, the regular season is the regular season, but I think for the playoffs, everybody should be on like kind of equal ground. And I know they're
Well, they do it for money. Obviously, it's obviously all for money.
Of course it is. All right. So I'll let you go on this. Now that the bracket is set, obviously, by the way, the Ravens and the 49ers are both one seeds. They have a bye. Super Bowl pick. Are you going chalk with the 2-1 seeds, or you got something different? I know you liked the Niners and the Bills, but are you still on that train?
So that is what I have. I'm going Niners over Bills. There's just no reason to change that opinion based on if I predicted it 7 or 8 weeks ago.
I'm gonna join you.
Oh, what?
No, because I just think the Ravens can be had. I don't know what it is. I just think the Ravens
can be had. Oh, you know what it is. You hate Lamar Jackson.
Well, no, I just hate Lamar in the playoffs.
Okay, so that's what it is.
I hate Lamar in the playoffs, but he's
been excellent. Told you, what if you knew ahead of time that it was going to be Tyler Huntley playing and not Lamar?
I think the Ravens would be taken a lot less seriously considering what Tyler Huntley put on film this past weekend at home against Pittsburgh.
same Super Bowl as me. All right.
But hopefully TJ Watt plays for the Steelers, but we'll see. So, yeah, so you're on Niners, Bills. I'm on Niners, Bills as well.
Got it. Which, by the way, would mean if that were to happen or if the Bills lost in general, that would be five Super Bowl losses.
Yeah, it'd be pretty rough. But I think the Niners are going to win the Super Bowl. That's my prediction. Niners are going to win the Super Bowl.
They should. Just hope there's nothing like for any team, but like no bad injuries in the playoffs, yeah. Like nothing like that.
Yeah, everything, you know, equal. I think the Niners still, I know they lost the Ravens, but I think the Niners are still the best team in the league. I think it'd be good for Shanahan to get rewarded, you know, because I just think that that's a great team. And would love to see Brock Purdy host the Lombardi Trophy for all the haters, shove it in their faces. Shai, this was great. We'll obviously, you know, we'll chat during the week. We'll monitor what's going on. And I appreciate the time as always, bud. Speak to you soon.
All right, good, because I'm on the clock for S&B.
Oh, shut up. No one cares about your fantasy team. Later. Thanks again to our current guest, Shai Ellberger, for coming on, talking a little bit about NFL playoffs, a little bit about the New York Giants with Wink Martindale stepping away from the team. Congratulations to him on winning our Pick'em Heads Up. That's episode 238 for the love of the game. Take us out, Travis Scott.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.